I'm a gay vampire American. And I love you, Jason Stackhouse.
Sci-fi party line.
When you came in, the air went out.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Hanako.
Hey, girl.
Hey, hey. And guess what today, guys? We're going to do True Blood.
Woohoo! Yes, we need to.
We're going to do bad things with you. Yeah, how about that? Oh, okay, so this is season four?
No, this is season five.
Oh, season five. Wow, we've been watching
season
this five.
No.
Five seasons. Okay, so yeah. Season five, there's been two episodes. I forgot the names of them so far. Doesn't matter, but the first two episodes of season five, that's what we're discussing today. If you have not seen it, please listen when you do. And we're just going to start from the beginning. So last season, well, the season prior to that, when we took a break for summer, a year had passed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then when we started this season, no time had passed at all. And I extremely enjoyed that. Just wanted to let people know that I noticed that, and I'm very happy about it, because we have a year later and like Tara is running a, you know, vampire brothel or some crap like that. I'm not going to be happy.
Yeah, I kind of like the way that they did it this year, because not only did we not lose time, they actually went back a little bit. Just so, I guess, kind of to refresh everyone on what was going on. So I kind of like that, too. I guess maybe they got too many complaints about last season and that whole, you know, time turn or time jump thing, whatever they did. But I kind of liked it better because we got to see, you know, a little bit of the whole Debbie and Sookie confrontation before Tara got shot. And then we were able to segue right on into it. So I loved it.
Yeah. I think that was very responsible, very, you know, because our True Blood fans for the show, we're really needy for information. And so it was a good choice Alan Ball made and his crew to do it that way. So let's get into it. So we walk in, we get to see Tara shot in the head yet again. Gross. And Debbie Pelt capped again. Gross. But then we get to...
I'm so glad, though. Because that bitch got on my nerves.
I was rooting for her because she had cleaned up her act. She was doing the right thing. And then...
Girl, no. I couldn't stand her in the show. Couldn't stand her in the books. I'm so glad to be rid of Debbie Pelt. Rest in peace.
No, rest in pieces. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, and that was... Oh, if I was sitting at the table at Lafayette, I would have had to have a drink, too. That was just disgusting. She's just picking up pieces of, I don't know, face and brains and whatever. And she's just putting it, and, you know, I guess in some ways I kind of like it, because now, you know, for a long time, anytime something unpleasant happened, Sookie was a mess. She couldn't deal, and she was freaking out and this, that, and the other. Now she's just like, okay, we're going to put the pieces that we can pick up over here, and we're just going to clean up the rest. And if you can't do this right now, I'll completely understand. And she just kept it pushing, like,
I know.
It was no big deal.
I kind of
like that, you know. It's a little bit better than dealing with her.
I don't know if I liked it completely, because, like, now is she devoid of emotions? Is she too used to seeing dead bodies? Is her heart stained for all of eternity because of this? I mean, what are the greater implications of her just, I'm picking up body parts today, no big deal, y'all. You know?
You know, but this is Sookie we're talking about, so I think she's strong now. I have a feeling we're going to see it. You know, she's going to break down later on. I don't know. I think, especially, you know, especially with everything that's going on with the whole Bill and Eric thing, I think once she is kind of privy to all of that, I think she's going to have her classic Sookie breakdown moment. I think for right now, though, it's kind of good because everything else is falling apart. And Sookie is the one that's kind of keeping it together. So that's kind of refreshing to see, as opposed to she, you know, I guess her being the dumb blonde, not knowing what's going on and trying to figure things out. She's just kind of like, okay, this is what happened. She's not playing the victim. You know, Lafayette, you know, made a good suggestion. Call the police. They'll believe you. And she's like, no, because I wanted to shoot her.
That was so powerful. That was powerful.
I was very impressed. You know, it's kind of like Sookie is doing what we had all been rooting for Tara, you know, up until last season when things started last season with Tara. You know, she was doing the MMA style fighting and she was kind of hard. And we were like, okay, yeah, she is going to reclaim herself. She's going to be strong. And then she fell back into, you know, whatever. So to kind of see it with Sookie now, it's kind of cool. But yeah, I'm kind of wondering what's going to be the breaking point and how bad is she going to break.
Oh, man. I don't know about that. But, you know, I'm glad she's stable for now because there's so many other things going on. Like, I read that Alan Ball purposefully had Tara go mad and not, you know, be able and us not be able to reach her because she was still suffering from brain damage. So when we finally get to see her speak in the second episode that her brain had fully recovered from being wounded. So yes. I didn't understand what was going on, why we didn't get a good conversation, what was happening. But, you know, it kind of makes sense that, you know, half of her brain was gone. So she was literally fucktarded.
Yes. Yes. Gotta love Pam for her new words. Yes.
Yeah. So what did you think about that? Did you like that? Or how were you feeling about Tara's emergence as a vampire?
You know, it was actually kind of funny to me just watching her go through that. But at the same time, it made sense because, like Pam said, half of her head was gone. So you got to kind of think that there is going to be a little bit of a recovery period. And, you know, one of my girlfriends actually asked me if I thought that they were going to fashion Tara after another character in the book, which I believe we've touched on him before, but there's a character in the books called Bubba.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who's read the True Blood series or the Southern Vampire series, as they are called, I think everybody knows that Bubba is actually supposed to be Elvis Presley.
Oh, dear God.
And the story is when Elvis died and was taken to the morgue, there was a vampire at the morgue, and he detected a faint heartbeat. And since he's looking, and this is like his idol, this is the king, he decides to turn him over. You know what I mean? You know, change him over. But because Elvis had so many drugs in his system when he died, when he transitioned to a vampire, he was a little bit on the, he became a special needs vampire. So he doesn't quite have it all. And they never actually call him Elvis Presley in the books, but she makes enough references so that you know that this is who this is supposed to be. And the character is actually quite funny, and I really don't think that they put him in the books enough now. But, you know, a girlfriend of mine asked me if I thought they were going to fashion Tara after that, you know, since they can't really put a vampire, a retarded vampire version of Elvis on TV.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't think that was, you know, I don't think that would be a good thing for Tara's character. It kind of wouldn't.
It would make her more tedious. It would make her more tedious.
Yeah, and it would just be a waste of screen time, and honestly, I think a waste of talent, because we've seen that, you know, Tara or Rutina Wesley can do a whole lot more with this character. Now it's just, you know, for so long she was just the whiny victim, everything is always happening to me type character. Now that she's a vampire, we might get to see some meat and guts to Tara, going to be interesting to see, because now she has nobody. Like, her mother is not going to accept her as a vampire.
Oh, dear God.
She's pissed off at Lafayette. She's pissed off at Sookie, and I think, you know, even though she was sleeping when Lafayette was about to kill her, I think she maybe heard that whole conversation. So she probably knows Lafayette was the person who got her turned or who asked for her to be turned. And now Sookie is the person who kept him from killing her, because I don't think Tara wants to exist as a vampire. But of course, now that she is, she's probably going to find some advantages to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be interesting to see how she transitions, kind of like Sookie said about Jessica, when Jessica first, you know, became a vampire, she was kind of whiny, and she was, you know, she was, when they first brought Jessica's character in as a baby vampire, I really wanted that character to die because she was so annoying. I remember us saying that. But now, okay,
We're not finished. We're gonna get to Jessica later.
But
Tara, I really want her to become badass like Caroline from The Vampire Diaries.
Oh,
I really want that to take place. Now, I was looking at, because I have to watch True Blood on HBO Go, the app they have, and they let you view it the same time regular TV viewers are viewing it, and they also have interactive features. And one of the interactive features has Rutina Weasley and Rutina.
You just called her Ginger.
I don't know, like, what is her?
You called her Wesley.
Wait, okay. So I saw her in this really kind of, like, leather dominatrix geisha-type outfit, and I'm wondering, is that for the show, or are you just wearing that? Because it looked leather and badass, and, like, she's going to be kicking some ass in some really ridiculous dominatrix gear. So I don't know, I'm excited if thing that she was wearing, I'll put, like, look down at your iPod right now, folks, and her picture is of her in that outfit is on the iPod picture for you. So I she just looked so great. Her makeup was awesome, she was so confident, and I was like, oh, I hope this outfit is in the show.
I hope that's Tara. Yes, I hope that's Tara.
So we know that she must have fully recovered, because there was a point before she left and got, you know, misted with Silver, that she said, you know, I'm not going to forgive you guys for this. And then she was off.
I'm not going to forgive either of you guys for this. And yeah, it's going to be, it's going to be ugly, because now the only person who's going to be able to contain her is Pam. And she and Pam don't like each other, so
I know,
that's going to be another interesting dynamic.
But you know what? I think either it was me or you last year, we kept hoping that Tara, since she was doing all this whining, that, and her and Pam was going at it, that we hoped that Pam would turn her, and we got our wish. And so we were just like, wouldn't it be weird if Pam just got really irritated with Tara and turned her? Well, that wasn't the case, but, you know, Pam is now her sire. So that is going to be so interesting. So interesting.
It's really going to be interesting once Eric finds out.
You think Eric's going to be pissed that Tara's a vampire now?
You know, I think he might be pissed at that, and then I think he may be more pissed about the fact that Pam was the one that turned her.
Is Pam not allowed to turn anyone?
I don't know. I don't know, because, you know, when she was in the grave, she did say, you know, when she said that she had done that before, she said, I'm not saying that the circumstances were... I don't remember what her exact
phrase was, but
she made an allusion that her last turn didn't go so successfully. So, I don't know how that goes.
Well, she thought that turning Tara was worth it because Sookie would owe her a couple of favors. So, she must really have something in mind for...
She has,
yeah. So, it must be really interesting. Yeah. What Pam wants from Sookie, because I can't imagine, like, A, she wants to repair her relationship with Eric, and then she owes a favor on top of that. So when those chickens come home to roost, it's not going to be pretty for Sookie, I think.
No, it's not. Okay, here's the thing that I'm confused on, and I haven't had a chance to go back and rewatch season 4. Did they ever say that Pam was the one who set Russell Edgington free?
Free as in what do you mean?
Or is that because, you know, Russell Edgington was, you know, somebody went and got dug him out of the concrete.
I don't think it was her.
And it's like,
I don't think it was
all
her.
Of these,
or do I have,
okay.
Or how would you think it was her?
because she keeps talking about this, you know, this thing that she did that Eric's going to be pissed off with her about. And right around the same time that she's saying all of this stuff is, you know, when Alcide goes and he finds that Russell is gone. And, you know, I think his foreman or his workman made mention that a vampire was the one who came and got him. And of course, a vampire would be the only person who could go and get him. I mean, he was encased in concrete with silver. So, and somebody has to be, somebody's feeding him. And speaking of which, ew, did you see what he looked like at the end of the
episode?
Oh my
God, he was totally Voldemort.
Ew. No, he was worse than Voldemort because he looked, his skin looked like that was broken off in pieces like the thing from Fantastic Four.
Yes, he did.
Gross.
Oh my God.
Ew. But anyway, so it's kind of like, okay, we can either assume that Pam was the one who set Russell free or Pam did something else that we don't know about. But whatever it is, she said that it's going to.
I thought the thing that she did wrong was siding with the vampires against Eric and wanting to not help Sookie, you know, because Pam was, she did something to harm Sookie and Eric was pissed about it, or he didn't, she wouldn't.
Yeah, and see, I don't remember.
It's been a while and I haven't done my rewatch, but I know that Eric sided with Sookie over Pam and Pam was hurt.
Okay, yeah, I think that kind of sounds right. I'm going to have to, I got to find season 4 and rewatch it, kind of refresh myself, because it's like, I remember season 4, but there are certain parts of it that I don't remember, and because of the fact that I don't have cable, I haven't been able to go back and rewatch it like I usually do with seasons. So season 4 is actually, I've only watched that season once, and that's kind of rare for me because I usually go back and watch each episode a couple of times.
I'm in the middle of, I'm at the beginning of a rewatch. I'm like 5 episodes in, but I haven't gotten to the part where Pam does the thing, because that's towards the end. But yeah, I'm doing my rewatch because you said you wanted to do a rewatch, so I was doing it because I thought you were doing it. So you'll get there. You'll get there. Okay,
yeah.
So since we're talking about Pam a lot, let's talk about her backstory, because we got a lot of that, or a little sneak peek into her backstory.
Yes.
In the second episode, what did you think about that?
I you know what? As a book reader and book fan, I actually like this backstory a little bit better. I don't know, it seems to me kind of more Pam type,
mm-hmm.
as far as the personality that we see of Pam on screen. In the books, she was basically, she was like your typical, I guess her mom was rearing her for a girl next door. You know, she had the arranged, you know, the betrothal or whatever you want to call it, because of, I guess the time period that she was,
mm-hmm.
that she was in at the time that she got converted. But, you know, she was very much Miss Innocent. And I think she talked about the fact that if Eric had not, I'm trying to remember, was it that she got attacked or was it that she, now I have to go back and do a book review. I can't remember if she had tried, to kill herself or if she was trying to, run away because she didn't want that kind of life, you know, where, you know, everybody was expecting things of her. She was supposed to be this good girl and make this good marriage and, you know, that sort of thing. And that wasn't the type of person that she wanted to be. And, you know, turning into a vampire kind of made her more confident, more aware. And then, of course, with Eric being her maker, you know, there was that whole.
I don't know, Hanako. I think I would have preferred it that way because it would have been like a really 180, you know, just to see her being sweet and innocent, because, you know, it takes a pretty hardcore character already to be a madam in a brothel. Right. So for her, it wasn't really a big change because she was already a woman in control. And for her to be like, it looks like as a vampire, she's just a step down because she's running like a little rinky dink hole in the wall Fantasia right now. And that's not nearly as, I guess, kind of upscale as a madam in a brothel.
I don't know. But, you know, at the same time, I guess you know, I'm hoping they'll show a little bit more of her backstory, because we only got to see the little bits, because even though, yeah, she seemed like the badass, she's the madam in the brothel, whatever, she still showed a lot of vulnerability. You know, when she came in and found the girl dead, she, you know, she immediately started crying, and that's kind of, for that type of person back then, that seemed a little soft to me, because, you know, she should have been angry instead of sad and crying, you know, and it's like, immediately she knew what killed her, you know, her girl, and then when she's in the street and the guy is, getting ready to attack her, instead of being tough, she kind of softened up, you know, she's crying and she's all scared and stuff, and it's just, I guess it's so weird to see her like that.
I didn't believe
it. And then, you know, of course,
I didn't believe it. It's not believable for a madam that runs a brothel to be that soft and that kind. I think it was a misstep.
Exactly.
I think it was a misstep
so
in the writing, though.
Saying.
I think it was a mistake in the writing, because it's like, why would a madam behave that way? You can't be that way and be a madam and then be hardcore. Yeah, you can care about your girls and give them cocaine on the side or whatever like that. But, I mean, it's just not believable for me for a madam to be that vulnerable and that soft spoken
to
me. So I don't know. It was a little weird for me, but if she was like the lady who had the kind of quasi arranged marriage and was forced into a life, you know, totally Titanic style, I would believe that, because I don't know, it would be a little bit more believable. But her as a madam having a soft spot, I don't know. I don't buy it.
Yeah. I don't know. The soft spot aspect of her personality, I didn't too much care for. But seeing her as a madam, that I, you know, when I saw it, I looked at it, I said, yeah, I can see that happen. It's kind of like, I don't know, just with the way that she projects on screen, I could see her being a madam. It was just, it looked very natural for the character, and that dress she was wearing, wow.
Yeah, that was pretty badass.
But, you know, I don't know. I'm hoping that they'll go a little bit more into detail, because I would like to know how someone like her goes from absolutely hating vampires to becoming one. Like, was this something that was done by force? And I don't think it was by force, because you could see it right then and there. Eric was charming her. He was being very charming when he saved her. He was very polite. He was very much the gentleman. So, of course, that's giving her, you know, second thoughts. Oh, well, maybe they aren't all that bad. So it's kind of like, okay, did she fall in love with him and, decide to become a vampire to be with him? Or I'm just kind of curious to see more about how they're going to play out her backstory and see what made Pam Pam.
Yeah, I'm there with you. Okay. I can't wait for it. We have to see more. We'll have to see more to really get the whole story. So where did you want to go next? Jessica.
There's like so much to talk about, because there's just, okay, yes, let's go to Jessica.
Wow.
Yeah. Jessica made me question my sexuality for a moment when she walked in with that Red Riding Hood and all kick ass and, you know, going to I was like, that's hot. I was like, there's nothing else you can say. She bust in, and when she turned around to Jason and dropped the robe, it's like, okay, yeah.
She does look great in her costumes. I thought it was a little tacky, but, you know, fine. But I really love her red hair. I love how they put that matte red lipstick on her, because it just makes her gorgeous. They do her eyes and her eyelashes just great. And girl, just, she looks great in her, doing her thing.
And you know what? I like what they're doing with her as a character. Because, you know, like I said before, she was one of those, she's a pure show character. Like, Jessica doesn't exist in the book. So at first it was kind of like, okay, what are they going to do with this teenage girl? And it's kind of like, I like what they're doing with her now, because now instead of being the whole body, you know, trying to do what she needs to do to cater to Bill, to cater to Hoyt, to be a good girl, she's kind of, she's kind of letting loose now, and we're seeing some fun aspects of her personality. You know, I was really, really impressed with the conversation between her and Steve Newland.
Oh my God!
When they were bargaining for Jason, and she made it seem like she was going to go for it, and then all of a sudden, she pulled back, and she was like, Jason is my friend, and I don't tell my friends, and da-da-da-da-da, and she just kind of asserted her authority. And that was really great to see, but, oh, while we're speaking of Steve Newland.
Yeah, let's skip to that, because this dude, he walked into her house and he was doing that little dance he was doing.
Girl.
Oh my God, I could not stop laughing.
From the moment he got back on screen, at first when I saw them bring him back as a vampire, I'm like, do we really have to go
I was excited because he was so up. I love his character, and now he's after all this, I hate vampires. Now he is a vampire. How poetic is that? That's amazing.
Yes. Okay. Now, I love that part about his character. Okay. As the, you know, anti-fang Steve Newman, he got on my nerves.
Yes.
It was like, why? And I couldn't understand why he had this beautiful wife and da-da-da. Okay, now we know why. But it was so funny because from the moment he opened his mouth, I was like, okay, there's going to be something different with this character. When he went into the whole, my maker just left me and Jason started, she abandoned you. I said, oh, here we go. All right, it's about to get interesting now, but I was not, when I tell you, that whole speech about being the gay vampire American, I had to pause the video about 25 times because I could not stop laughing. I laughed so hard. I had tears rolling down my cheeks, and it was just, I don't even know what was funnier, whether it was the speech or whether it was the look on Jason's face, because Jason is looking like, what the fuck? And then, but anyway, so, that speech was probably some of the best dialogue for the episode. That speech was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was so funny because it was like, okay, from the moment he said, about you sleeping with my wife, and Jason's face turned, he's like, oh God, this man knows I slept with his wife, and he's a vampire, he's going to kill me. And then when he said the thing that made me upset was that she got to sleep with you, I said, oh, finally, here it comes, because you and I had this conversation before. We were like, he's a homosexual. you can't be that. I mean, just, he was so over the top with his character. It's like you could tell he was just in there, he was just dying to break out. So when he finally came out and said that, I'm like, okay, finally, good. We're going to get some comedy out of this, because he plays that character so annoyingly well, just as a supposedly straight, vampire-hating preacher. So now that we have him on the flip side, now he's gay. He's still trying to be a preacher, but now he's a vampire. And he's trying to reverse his whole agenda that he pushed before. This is going to be hilarious.
It is. I love when he said, Jesus loved everybody. And, him as being a person who died for 3 days and came back to life and blah, blah, blah. He really, I was like, oh, my God, what is he doing? He's trying to compare Jesus to a vampire. That's so brilliant. I love this guy.
But, the funny thing is that is not the first time I've heard that comparison.
I know, with zombies and vampires and stuff like that, yeah.
Yes, and I don't even remember where I heard it before, but I heard that comparison before, and I was like, oh, somebody's about to get in trouble about this, because I can get
my God.
Steve Miller.
Whoever brought him back, I want to know his make. I want to know who the crap his maker is, because that is hilarious.
I want to know what writer thought to bring him back so I can thank them, because now I'm going to laugh the whole season. The whole season is not going to be doom and gloom and the the agenda, the political agenda. This is going to be funny. That whole conversation with him and Jessica when they're bartering. I mean, he walks in there with $10,000 cash, and Jessica starts bartering, and the look on his face when she was like, and speaking of rock hard, he was like, oh, that, girl, that was so much fun to watch. So I'm really hoping for, yes, bring on Steve Newland, because I need my laughs for True Blood. He is hilarious. I love him. I couldn't stand his character before, but I liked his character because he played what he needed to play as that kind of character. Mm-hmm. Now, oh, just let it out. Oh, this is going to be so much fun.
I can't wait till he reconnects with his wife. Like, what's that going to be? Like, his ex-wife or whatever they are at the time.
Yeah,
I want to see that conversation because that's going to be funny.
Yeah. Oh, Steve. Oh, that's, yeah. But you know what? You don't have to bring her annoying behind back either.
I loved her because she was so Southern church lady. She was just like the epitome of it. And her stupid accent and her stupid fake nails and her sunshine face. I just loved how annoyingly perfect she was as a Christian Southern lady character. So I want to see her again and see what she has to say about the whole thing. Now, back to Jessica for a little bit. She is partying with college students at this sad little party. I don't know why they're having a ball, but the party looks kind of sad.
Oh, you know, she kicked them out. She kicked them out after the whole confrontation with Steve.
I know she kicked them out, but, you know, in the first, I couldn't see why she was having that party in the first place. It didn't look like a really good party. It's like five people on a sofa and, like, a Wii and, the Guitar Hero or whatever they was playing. And so I was just like, what is
I think she's just lonely. I mean, if you think about it, her whole existence has been nothing but Bill and Hoyt.
That's true.
Bill is her maker, trying to teach her how to be a vampire, and then when she did fall in love, it was with Hoyt, and she had that whole codependent relationship, and now it's kind of like, you know, Bill is not around, her and Hoyt are done, so it's kind of like, okay, now she's got to try and figure out who she is and what she wants to do, because if you remember, she's only 17?
Yeah.
And she was turned... You know, when she was turned, she was a sheltered girl. Her parents never let her out the house. She couldn't do anything socially. And, you know, so she was there. She didn't get a chance to do all of the stuff that, quote unquote, normal teenagers do. So I think now she's just getting to a point where she's trying to explore that. But she's going to find herself kind of bored with the humans because now, like she said, she's all powerful. What does she need all that human stuff for?
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that was,
like, why are they not food for her? Like, is she going to go bad? Is this the end of it? Like, and Hoyt, what he's going through, he just pisses me off right now. I'm sick of him.
I was going to say Hoyt is getting on my nerves. Okay, you want to call Jason a girlfriend sucker. Guess what? He's not, because you broke up with her. You called her a monster and you threw her out the house. So she was fair game. Shut up Yeah, Hoyt is really starting to irritate me. Like, I really just want Jason to punch him just one good time and just say, look.
Well, Jason feels really guilty. And, I mean, he should kind of. I mean, I understand that she was fair game, but that's your best friend, and you should just kind of step off of that for a while and let it.
I understand that. But I'm just saying, I guess it's to the point, it's just like, Hoyt needs to grow some balls, get over it. Okay, yes, Jason slept with her. You're pissed. You punched him once, I think twice. Okay, leave it alone. You didn't want her.
That's right, because Jason actually really couldn't resist her because her blood was in his veins. So, I mean, it's not entirely, I understand why he's upset, but it's not entirely something he could have controlled. So,
yeah, but, I mean, even so, you made it plain that you didn't want Jessica Jessica. And now, why are you going to get mad about it now? It's over and done with. You kicked her out the house. So, and technically speaking, she's a vampire. She could have easily, you know, even though I know Jason's trying to be on the straight and narrow now, he could have easily said, oh, she glamored me or this, that, or other. Hoyt's not going to listen to reason. He told Hoyt that it was her blood, you know, that he doesn't know whether that had anything to do with it or whatever. He was very upfront about it. No, I'm not saying Jason did it right. Yeah, he was wrong. He should have stayed away from Jessica. But again, have you seen what she looks like? You know, this is Jason Stackhouse we're talking about. Like Andy said, have you slept with everybody in Renard Parish? She's like, I think so. So it was going to happen eventually. If you didn't want Jason to sleep with her, you should have stayed with her, because then she was off limits, because Jason wasn't going
to
touch her.
I don't think Hoyt would have been able to contain her, because he's too small. He's too small, and she's a vampire. And Pam, I did rewatch some of the part where Pam was like, you're a hunter. You're not going to be able to do the domestic Martha Stewart thing and stay home and be all, you know, like that. That's not going to happen. So Jessica has come to grips with that. Now Jason is all puppy dog eyes and everything at Jessica. And I don't know. It's going to happen with that at all. But I want Hoyt.
That's going
to
be interesting.
Yeah, I want Hoyt to get over it, because now he's staying with his moms again and he's fixing pipes. And instead of fixing his life, he's just going around yelling at people. I can't stand like that. That's like sucks. Fix your fucking life. And get over it and talk to people. Don't be a yelly, whiny bitch, you know, so.
Yeah, his little fussing at his mom was funny. What the fuck, mom?
Yeah.
I've been down on the fucking floor.
Yeah, you don't talk to his mom. I mean, his mom is the most, she's the worst mom ever, and she's ridiculous, but, you know, come on, you don't talk to your mom like that. That's ridiculous.
I know, but, oh, God. I mean, it's just, I guess it's so funny because I'm still not used to seeing Hoyt as that kind of character. I still look at him as the meek little character that he was when it first started. So to see him, you know, talking to her like that and just kind of trying to be big and bad, it's just, it's kind of weird.
It's weird, but it's not in a powerful way. Like, it's not, it's like, it looks like he's trying to stand up to her, but it's in the most annoying, weak way possible. Like,
exactly.
It's like him. He's lashing out because he's a hurt little boy, not because he's actually taking responsibility and you know, being a man about the situation. You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's like Hoyt's doing his thing, but he's like grumpy, depressed, yelling, and standing up for himself, which is different from just asserting yourself and being a But yeah, I wonder what's gonna happen with them, because I'm sad to see that they're not friends anymore.
I don't think that's going to last. I think they'll probably start back speaking again, especially with all this stuff with the Vampire Authority going on. I don't know how that's going to work, but I have a feeling with you know, Steve Newland coming back and being a vampire, now he's got his sights set on Jason. And
something's going to go down. Yeah.
Jason is going to need a friend, and I think in the end Hoyt will come through. So I don't know how they're going to do that, but I don't see them being mad at each other for long. I mean, kind of in the same way, I don't know if I see Tara being upset at Lafayette and Sookie for long.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think this year may be the year that Hoyt dies. I think his character got expanded, and I think he's gonna bite the dust this year.
Well...
Oh, okay. Do you know something in the books that's different?
No, because now they have, like, completely, like, there is nothing going on in True Blood now that even closely resembles the books.
Okay, then.
They are completely off the page.
Okay. All right.
So, all
right.
Because everything is different, because... I mean, we could go down the list and I could tell you what's different.
Nah,
in the
we don't
show
need to do that.
Yeah.
that would be.
It's just, yeah, because you still need to read the books. But yes, so they are completely off the page. So I have no idea what to expect, what to anticipate, and I'm actually loving it that way.
Yeah, that's fresh for the people who've actually read the books. Okay, let's skip and let's get off of those group of people. And let's go to Eric and Nora. His sister.
Oh, you know what? Between True Blood and Game of Thrones, can we please get a healthy relationship that's not incest-based? Thanks. Oh, my God.
Oh,
I see another brother and sister pair. Check. Oh, my. Okay. Even though technically speaking, she's not his sister, still, ew, for them to be going at it hot and heavy, and that was a hot sex scene, but
it was.
For them to be going at it hot and heavy and talking about, I miss you, sister, I missed you, but okay, I have an open mind, my mind is not that open. That was just...
Yeah, that was on the nose. I couldn't.
It was
gross.
It was weird.
We fight
so
like.
That part was weird.
We stood like a Viking. We fight like siblings, but we.
He was like, we fight like siblings, but we fuck like champions. Like, yes, we see that, but still.
Brody, the
pack.
So, this is the secret sister now. So, you're saying that because I don't remember her. I thought his whole family was killed. So she's a sister.
She's a vampire sister. Godric turned her.
So
they share a maker.
That's
why I said it's different. It's different. It's kind of like I'm trying to think. I guess it would kind of be similar to step siblings.
Cooking up. That's still.
It's like they don't share blood, but they still consider themselves brother and sister, and then all of a sudden they're hooking up. That it's just, it's like it's legal, but it's still creepy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of in the same way. So it's I don't know that whole, but you know, at the same time, anytime I get to see Alexander Skarsgård with no shirt,
you know, and you know, Bill was actually more grossed out than we think he was, because if you remember at the beginning of season 4, that lady that he was shagging, that was the lawyer lady Balfour, that was Andy's cousin or whatever,
yes.
Found out that he was his great 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 granddaughter, and he cut it off just like that. So
But that situation was different because they were blood.
Right.
So that was a little bit different, because Bill found, you know, he found out that this chick, that, you know, she was actually a distant blood relative.
Right.
So that was completely different. So it was like, once he found that out, he was like, oh, no, we're not.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But again, the only blood that Eric and Nora share was the blood of Godric when he turned them. So technically speaking, they're not related, but the fact that they call each other brother and sister, and they did so during the act of sex. That was just, that was just a bit much for me. But you know, I'm sure some people got, you know, was like, oh, that's cool. Which, you know, if that's your thing, cool. But it was a little much for me.
So we didn't get to talk about, but Nan Flanagan is gone.
Yeah, so you know, I completely forgot about that from last season until I saw the, the opening credits for this season. I was like, oh yeah, they did kill her.
Yeah, so they killed her off, and so they're cleaning her.
We got Chris Malone in exchange. Yes.
The what now?
I'm sorry. I got excited. I said they killed her off, and we got Chris Malone in exchange.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. So the Eric and they were. I don't know what the destination of Eric and Nora and Bill, I don't know where they were going, but they ended up going to the authority, and here is where Christopher Maloney from Law and Order enters.
Yes.
What did you think about his entrance? What did you think about his performance?
You know what? I thought it was great.
It was
I really thought it was great. He came in and... I don't know. I think I read a quote in Entertainment Weekly, and it's like, they said it's almost like he was ready to leave SVU and don a pair of fangs. It's like he was made for this. He was great.
He was so good.
I loved him as a guardian. I'm like, ooh, let's see. And it's like, it's funny because on SVU, Elliot Stabler always had an undercurrent of anger. You know, he always had anger management issues.
Yeah.
And he, you know, there were times you would see it come to the surface, but for the most part, he kind of kept it in check. And you saw a little bit of that with this past week's episode, because I really thought he was going to take Bill, and he just caught himself at the last minute. That scene was great.
Yeah, that scene.
Because he was like, yeah. He was like, I want to thank you so much right now, but I know that there are more things, there are things more important than how I feel. I was like, oh, yeah, he's going to be a beast this season. I can't wait.
There was another Christopher, a new Christopher as well, and that's Christopher Heyerdahl from Sanctuary and Twilight.
Yes, I love Sanctuary, Twilight, Supernatural, Stargate.
All that stuff.
Stargate Atlantis. Yes. So I was excited to see him, but did you recognize somebody else? I don't know if you're a Spartacus fan, but Peter Mensah is in, he's part of the Authority as well.
Who now?
Peter Mensah was the black guy, the bald black guy. He's Anna Mayer.
Oh, yes.
From Spartacus.
Yes.
Yes.
I forgot about him.
I'm like, oh my God, I'm just loving this. All my favorites from different shows, all in one show. I'm just loving it.
I know
it.
He's
going to
die.
So
he's going to die. I can feel it.
He's so favorite. Please
I can feel it.
I
can feel him dying.
I like him. Please don't say
and I know
don't
that lady.
That. You know what? Honestly, I think, I don't know, Christopher Heyerdahl's character, I'm kind of iffy about. That's the one I think will probably die first. I don't know. There's something about his character. And it was weird hearing him talk with that accent.
Yeah.
It was like, he looks so different from what I'm used to seeing him.
Yeah.
But now I've heard him talk with different accents. I mean, he talked like this for True Blood, and he talked in that annoying little nasal voice as Alistair on Supernatural. And so it's just kind of interesting to see him look so different and sound so different, but you know who this person
good actor.
Is.
Because in Sanctuary, not only was he Jack the Ripper, he was also the caveman guy.
Okay, and see, I of course mean no cable, no Sanctuary. So,
it's canceled.
You know,
anyway,
I heard. I hate that because I really like Amanda Tapping as an actress.
Man,
so.
Maybe she'll be in something else. So.
Yeah, getting back to that. So I don't know. I kind of see that character, but yeah, the female character, I think she might bite. I really think she might bite the dust first.
I can't wait for it because she is so obnoxious. Her hair is stupid. Her whole she's wearing pisses me off. I don't understand what's going on with her. Is she powerful? Is she sadistic? Is she soft? Is she what is going on with her? So she's all over the place for me. I'm ready for her to be steak, so I don't have to deal with her.
She got that sadistic thing going on because that little silver IV machine, that was pretty, I guess, genius is a kind of sort of a good
one.
No,
she didn't invent it.
That
she just used it.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying the way that they used it, it's like they used it with no hesitation. But, you know, also at the same time, I like the interaction that happened then because it's like, they're purposefully trying to play Eric and Bill off each other. And I'm like, y'all are so stupid. Y'all think they don't see this?
Yeah, long live the king.
And, you know, I knew, I knew that was coming. I said it at the same time he said it because she was like, what do you think about that? I said, he's about to say long live the king or, you know, all hail the king or something like that. And as soon as he said, I was like, oh, genius.
So.
But I knew it. And then, of course, you know, when they put them together and they look at each other, and I think Eric, and here's the thing, Nora is going to be a liability for him. Because when she mentioned to him that Nora had been given the true death, you could see that stony facade kind of fucked her a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he put it back in place, and then the look on his face when he saw that she was still alive. It's like now they know she means something to him. They have to because it was very evident on his face. So that's going to end up being a problem for him.
I know, but you know what?
Because
though?
They're gonna,
it just feels so forced to manufacture because we've never heard of this lady before, right? And it just seems like she's brought in this season just to have her killed at the end so we can have this really dramatic, intense scene of him losing her. So I'm already prepared for her to die, the true death, and Eric to, you know, mope around, and Sookie to mop up his tears. So I just already see
with that super smash of hers. You know.
Yeah.
Pam and her phrases. And, yes, I cannot tell you how many times I have seen the whole Walmart sweatsuit phrase. I mean, in Entertainment Weekly this week, it was actually on the bullseye.
Oh, my God.
it was actually on the Bullseye. I was like, wow, everybody is loving this. And it was in the, you know, if you read Entertainment Weekly, you know, they have a section, they have a page on the back with, like, quotable quotes or notable quotes, and they take like the different quotes from pop culture or TV shows or talk shows for that week, and they put like, I guess, the favorite ones or the funniest ones, and that quote was there too.
That jumpsuit was so hilarious. You could tell it had polyester on it. It had a ridiculous cat, and it was like canary yellow. It was just so hilarious.
I am wearing a Walmart sweatsuit for y'all. If that doesn't demonstrate teen spirit, I don't know what it is.
Oh, and it was just to see her with a cat, wearing something with a cat on it. It's just, oh.
Yeah. And then she walks into Fantasia, and what's her name? Ginger says, "You're all dirty. What happened to you?" She's like, "I went to ground. What's your excuse?" This is really looking like, am I dirty?
She's an airhead, so what can you do with her?
Well, you know, yeah, that's true. But okay, we got to talk about Terry Belfour. What the hell?
Okay. So first, he's sleeping with Holly. And he walked up.
No, not Andy. Terry.
Oh, Terry, I'm sorry. Terry, yeah, what's going on? It seems like he's having some PTSD, but brought on by Patrick. And we don't know what's going on with Patrick, because Patrick is saying something about all these friends whose houses are burning down and blah, blah, blah. It sounds like Patrick is the one who's doing that.
I don't know, because they mentioned, I guess, the guy who Terry was supposed to be close to is, I guess, now Terry thinks that maybe he has something to do with it, but apparently they're saying something happened in Iraq, and we've only been getting like bits and pieces of the flashbacks, but apparently they set fire to something and I guess maybe killed some innocent civilians in the process, and now all of a sudden, I don't know if it's a vengeful spirit.
Terry and Arlene, that's like two ghosts. And both season back-to-back, that's going to irritate me. I think it's Patrick. Patrick is weird. Patrick's not right.
But then how do you explain the matches setting themselves
that
on fire?
That was that ghost. Remember? That was the ghost.
No. She didn't set the fire. She saved the baby. Because remember, she wasn't vengeful. She was just trying to find out where her baby was.
So I don't think that was her that set the fire.
I don't think she set the fire.
I think she did that this whole time. You think somebody else did that. That's interesting.
I think something else did. I don't think Mavis was the one who set the fire, because she was the one who saved Mikey when the fire was set. And remember, all she wanted was her baby. Once they dug up where her baby was, she was at peace. Remember, they found where the baby was, and they buried the baby with her.
I just assumed that she was the one.
She was never a vengeful spirit, so I don't think she was the one that did it. And, of course, at that point, Marnie was gone, so it wasn't her. She had
no reason to go after Terry. Who was writing on the wall, "Not your baby"? And who gave Arlene the little star in the eye? Was it the same vengeful spirit?
See, that is the thing. I don't know. I think that probably had to do with Mavis, but I don't think the... I don't know, because now I really got to go back and look at season 4. But I don't think, as far as the fire goes, I don't think that was Mavis.
That's interesting. I don't think that was her. That's very interesting. So, okay, fine. If we're going to deal with a ghost and Terry and Arlene again, then fine. I really don't want to deal with the ghost, because Patrick came somewhere out of the blue. I really want to blame him, because I don't like him. So.
Well, I mean, you know, he could be something supernatural, too, that we don't know about yet. I mean... Let's see, what's left? We've got vampires, we've got werewolves, we've got shifters, we've had maidens. I think Lafayette went down.
Yeah, he did.
So we had witches. So what's missing now? Is there anything missing? I mean, we had fairies. You know,
but they were zombies for Halloween. But they were fake zombies.
That's true. Okay, and speaking of this whole, the fairies thing, let me say this for last season. I'm very disappointed that they didn't go that they didn't do more with that. It's kind of like they introduced the fairies and then all of a sudden they were gone.
Yeah.
It's like, what was the whole point of that?
And then why did
you know, just to say, okay, Sookie has fairy blood. Okay, you could have, I don't know. It just, I don't like the way that they did that whole fairy thing. And eventually they're going to have to come back to it.
I think so, they dropped it so bizarrely because they closed the fairy portal so none of them can get out, but her fairy godmother came back just to get eaten by Eric. So I don't understand, like, and then that was the end of it, and then Terry had sex with that one fairy, right? And then...
No, that was Andy.
I'm sorry, Andy, I'm confused. Andy had sex with that one fairy, and then what?
Yeah, see, that's why I said they're going to have to bring that back. Because you just don't have a fairy to do some bumbling drunk sheriff, and then... Nothing happens after that. I mean, we literally got there was no development with that. So it was kind of like, I don't know, did they just throw that in there because they couldn't think of something else, or did they lose interest, or they just kind of put it in there as a teaser? It just, I don't know. But it's like, I guess they brought it all in there to introduce the fact that Sookie is part fae, but still, there were other ways that you could have done that without introducing all these characters, bringing back her grandpa just for him to be gone again. And just, it was, I don't know, that whole thing was kind of weird. And, you know, I think that was one of the things that I wanted to talk about the last time when we did a True Blood wrap-up for last season. I didn't remember it, but now that we mention it, I was kind of disappointed that they kind of went there with that. But who knows, maybe Patrick is a fae. Who knows?
Oh,
you know, I don't know. I don't
a
know.
Fire
so, fae. something. I don't know.
So,
but
now the authority. Back to them. What do they do again?
Mm-hmm.
Like what is their problem? Because they're torturing Bill and Eric, and they want, are you fundamentalist? Do you believe that humans are food and blah blah? And I'm like, I don't understand why you guys are pissed. What you're doing.
Well, here's the thing. From what I understand of what the Guardian's role is, or the Guardian's character is, which is Christopher Maloney's character, it seems like he's supposed to be on one agenda, but he's actually pushing another one just in a sneaky way. Like, he really does believe, I think he really does believe this whole Sanguinista movement as far as, you know, humans are supposed to be food, but he's doing it in a way that is kind of like one of those subtle domination things. Like, you're trying to be mainstream so that people will be comfortable with you, people begin to trust you, and then you mutiny from that point of view. I think that was what I read about the character, and, you know, I don't do spoilers for True Blood, so I haven't read up so much about what's going to happen this season and whose character is doing this and doing that, but I think that much I did read. So it's kind of like he's trying to get the vampires to take over to become the dominant species, but he's doing it by infiltrating. He's trying to mainstream everybody, and anybody who is, say, like Russell, where they're trying to push the vampire agenda, make them seem like they're the dominant ones. He's going to exterminate them and then just kind of take over, you know, in a more subtle way. That's kind of the gif I get about his character. So I don't know. This whole thing with Mista movement, that I don't know, but that's supposed to be the movement that believes that humans are food, and food only is kind of like a mix of the Matrix and finding home. Humans are friends, not food. That's the agenda he's pushing, but what he's saying, what he really feels is humans are
food. Yeah,
that's
what I was getting, and I was just like, it was really confusing, like, what are you really doing? But, you know, I guess we'll find that out later and figure it out, but I don't know.
There was something else I was about to mention, and it just kind of...
Well, you know, while you hold that thought, and we'll talk about Alcide.
Okay, well, I have to do that again. Okay, I think I got it all out now. But
he didn't. I was disappointed that his shirt was on for both episodes. And it got like on this big ass jacket, and we couldn't see his butt. And
but you know, the first episode, I'm kind of glad because I wouldn't have wanted to see him with no clothes on while they're sitting there eating Marcus's guts. That just would have been a total turn off.
You have a point. You have a point.
So
I think there's going to be some repercussions about him not.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. So I wonder what they are, because Martha is running around looking tragic and creepy. That's Marcus's mom. And like, what is she doing? What's going on with her? Why is she walking around looking like everything is like, would somebody just take over the pack and live your life? Why does Alcide have to be involved with it? Leave the man alone. Y'all forced him to be part of the pack anyway. He didn't want to be part of the pack. And then now, you know, he killed Marcus in kind of self-defense.
But now technically speaking, he's part of the pack. So, he's the pack master. So I don't know how that's going to work in. I mean, now it's really going to be interesting because, of course, now Emma has turned.
I know. But is she
a wolf?
But hold up. Is she a shifter as a wolf? Did she just shift into a wolf, or is she actually a wolf?
I think she's probably just a wolf, because I think if she was a shifter, she might have shifted to something else.
Why? Why would she? I mean, she knows. I think she knows that she's part werewolf, part shifter. But, like, what are they supposed to be triggered that young? Well, yeah, maybe. No, I don't know.
I thought it was in the team. I think the timing is kind of weird because, of course, all of this is happening right around the same time her dad dies. Grandma comes looking for her, and all of a sudden that same night she changes. And, you know, mom says, well, what happens when she turns? Okay, and all of a sudden now she turns? Like, really?
And then, like, what's her face? What's her name?
Luna.
Huh? Luna. She got really crappy with Sam. Really crappy.
Oh, yeah. She's kind of, I think she may be kind of psycho a little bit. I don't know. Because she did a complete 180. It was like,
I don't know. It was a mother protecting her cub. So I see where she was coming from. And I kind of felt like Sam's whole conversation that he was trying to have with her was ridiculous. Like, he should not have been like, oh, that's her blood. And, you know, she has a point and blah, blah, blah. Like, Sam, you know, this lady just had people torture you. Calm down a little bit, you know, just calm down a little bit. Don't side with that psycho broad that just ate the entrails of her son. Don't side with a person like that because, ew, no one.
Especially considering who you had as kids.
Yeah.
You know, and you tried to get rid of them, you know, but what I'm saying is, you know, he was the first person to be like, okay, y'all my blood, but y'all not my family. And, you know, basically pushed them back out of their lives once he went looking for them. So it's kind of like, okay, hypocrite much?
I think it was just a volatile situation. She just saved his ass, basically. And I don't really know what that conversation was about. That was a really weird, ridiculous-ass conversation, honestly. And for Martha to be showing up at her house, you know, awkward, don't do that. It's too soon. Too soon.
Too soon.
Right?
Too soon.
And then, so now, there's still a question, is she a wolf? Is she a shifter as a wolf? What's going to happen? What's going on? What does it mean? What does it mean for Alcide now? Also, what is he going to do when he finds out Debbie Pelt is dead and that Sookie killed her?
Lafayette had one point. You killed her with her own shotgun in your house. So, there's not too much that he's going to, you can't really say, it was self-defense, regardless of, yes, Sookie may have wanted to kill her, however, it still was self-defense. Because I'm sorry, somebody walk up in my house with a shotgun and take a shot at me, killed my best friend. Yes, they're getting it to the chin too. I'm sorry. I may actually think good, long, and hard about it. I'm still going to pull that trigger.
Yeah, I would have shot her because that's the second time she done tried to kill Sookie. Second time.
Yes.
One time you get a pass. Maybe there was some stuff. But you, second time, you're going down. Fool me once, yeah. Shame on you. Fool me twice, can't be fooled again. That's our president, George Bush, quoting him.
Yeah.
But, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, are they going to become enemies? Now, I saw a clip.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either because I saw a clip with him and her naked. And it was film from this season. So we know at some point something's going to go down.
Yeah. So, and I will say this, I kind of hope it does because Sookie never got with Alcide in the books. It's like they hit, they got close, they almost were there, and it was just. You need to hurry up and read the books so I can.
I'm not reading those books. I can't see Alcide in text. I can only see him via video. So unless they have pictures of that man in that book, Kat's not reading it.
Yeah, okay.
That's not gonna happen. Yeah, okay. I read Harry Potter. Get off my case.
Okay. I'll give you that one. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be as much of a problem now because of the fact that he pretty much broke it off with Debbie before she went to Sookie. And I forgot what term he used. I forgot the term that they used in the book. But basically, you know, the term that he used to break it off with her and why she was so distraught is because the way that they have it, the way that Charlotte Harris describes it in the books is like when sisters or werewolves, I mean, are together, it's kind of like there is a bond. It's almost kind of like the whole imprint thing. Mm-hmm. That it is in Twilight. It's like, this is your partner. This is who you're supposed to be with. That's one of the reasons why he and Debbie always ended up back together, because even though she was being a skank with, I forgot what dude's name was, the season that Bill, you know, had gotten kidnapped, mm-hmm. you know, they always ended up back together because in those terms, they were supposed to be together. But once he, it's going to bug me that I can't remember this term, but once he kind of let it be known, okay, you are no longer, you know, we are no longer together, I am no longer with you, the way that it's described in the books is basically once he does that, he's telling her it's almost like you are dead to me.
Yeah.
So there's no emotion, like it completely cuts off emotional connection. It cuts off physical connection. So it's like she could sit there and talk to him and want to be with him and he would feel nothing. Like he would see that she's there, but it would be like nothing, like almost like he's talking to a wall.
I abjure you.
And so it's, that's it. Thank you. So basically that means I've cut you off. You no longer exist in my mind. You are dead to me. And so for him to do that, you know, that's kind of what made her go crazy and go after Sookie, because now the only thing she can associate this with is, okay, now that Sookie's back, he wants to be with her. He abjures me. And it's like, that's more than just saying, I break up with you. I don't exist to him anymore. What else is there? As a wolf, I mean, she couldn't really go to anybody else.
She was getting ready to get with Marcus, though.
Yeah, but you know what? That was just a physical thing. She was just going to sleep with him. But as far as like being with him, that wouldn't have happened because
Alcide would not have gone for that. That would have pissed him off.
Yeah.
He doesn't need that. He doesn't need that.
Yeah.
He can abjure her and come to me. And we'll be okay. Yeah. You know, yeah, you can rent him on the weekends. I don't know.
So yeah, I don't think that whole Debbie Pelt thing is gonna be such an issue. I mean, he may be upset a little bit or he may be sad about it, but I feel a smart guy. She came to Sookie's house with a shotgun with the intentions to kill her. And actually, especially once the whole truth about Tara comes out and how she became a vampire. Oh, yeah, it's a done deal. Ashley's going to be like, Debbie who?
But, you know, there's an investigation because Jason and Andy found her car. and now they're asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know where that's going to go, but I don't know. It can get pretty hairy.
I don't know. We'll see. But I just want to know when Slicky and Nasita are going to get down. That's all I need to know.
I hope he.
Well,
I hope it.
Because Slicky ain't had none in a minute. And I'm starting to feel her drought. I feel it for her. Like, I feel it for her. Like, okay, you had Bill, then you had Eric, and now there's just nothing. And it's like,
you know, to be fair, she's a little busy. She had to, like, help kill off a witch. And then her friend got capped. And, you know. And then I think in the same day, Lafayette lost, what's his name?
Oh, yes. That was one of the things I wanted to know. Jesus, where the hell did his body go?
Yeah. So where is his body?
You know, you have to think about what he said to Lafayette when he appeared to him. He said all things are just temporary. So it's like, okay, does that mean he's coming back? Like, did he really die? Is he coming back to life because of this whole black magic thing? It's like, yes.
That's so funny.
That's
funny. That is super funny. Okay.
Okay, why is that funny? I want to know why it's funny.
Maybe he'll just be gone for 3 days and then, you know, they'll find a rock.
And, you know, I was thinking that same thing, too. Like, you know, Lord. Steve Newman did this next year.
I don't know, because...
But I'm kind of...
I don't know. I loved his character. He tempered Lafayette like nobody's business. And I just love them together. And I'm upset that he got shanked and he's missing. So, who knows? But I am...
I mean, I like him, too, but I kind of think also... I think he tempered Lafayette a little too much. Because Lafayette was... His characters, like, he was kind of in between. Like, there was a point when I first started watching True Blood where I actually didn't, it's like I had to really pay attention to realize that Lafayette was one character, because in one scene, you would see him completely gay, completely flaming, completely flamboyant, you know, two snaps in a circle, whatever. And then in another thing, you will see him, he's like hard gangster with the pants slacking and the hat to the side. And it was kind of like, I have to really look and be like, is this the same character? You know, because he had such
range,
distinctive personalities, you know, when he was being Lafayette the lover or whatever, and then when he was being Lafayette the drug dealer, the pusher, whatever. He had two distinctive personalities. And then once he got with Jesus, we kind of saw him blend those personalities, but we saw more of the softer Lafayette, and we didn't see, I don't think we saw enough of the AIDS burger Lafayette. I missed that Lafayette. You know, that Lafayette was the reason why I stuck with True Blood, because at first, when the first few episodes came on, I was kind of bored at first. I was like, I don't know if I want to watch this.
Yeah.
And then when that episode happened and that scene happened, yeah. So when that scene happened, I was like, oh, I got to watch it just to see what he's going to do. And it's like, I kind of missed that version of Lafayette. So, again, to see him completely get into Alcide's face, I was like, oh, yes, Lafayette
is
back.
I love that he cut whatever he had going on his head, like he was putting a mullet on his head every week or whatever. I'm like, you know, I don't want to see that. I want the Lafayette back that I love. I want AIDS burger. I love the way he got in. I mean, that's serious getting into a werewolf's face like that, especially Alcide.
He was kind of... He was scared a little bit, but he held his ground. That's the Lafayette I want to see. I don't want to, you know, and even though I like softer Lafayette, I like, you know, in love Lafayette, but still I think there was too much of that last season. It's like, you know, Jesus was the one who was, oh, man, don't be scared. Let's do this. Let's do that. And it's like Lafayette is kind of backing off and being scared. And it's like,
his character really changed when he was trapped in that dungeon for all that time. You know what I'm saying? So his character really, really changed and softened and got a little scared and had a little PTSD or what? Post-traumatic stress. And he just hadn't really gotten over that. So again, he lost two people that he really loved pretty much in the same day. So I don't know what we're going to see out of him, but I hope it's strong. And I think some of the unevenness that you saw in the first season was due to probably Nelson. Is that his name?
I think it's Nelson.
Nelson Ellis or whatever. Probably because he's a straight guy and he just had to try to find his character and find his middle ground where Lafayette had to be. So, you know, I think that was part of it. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, I like seeing Lafayette get like this. And like I said, that whole confrontation with him and Alfie, I was like, oh, they're about to throw down. This is going to be interesting.
They're not going to throw down. Sookie wouldn't allow that. Sookie wouldn't.
I don't know. Sookie Scholl sat there with her mouth closed.
No, she told him to leave. She didn't told Alfie, you got to leave.
Yes, but that was after all that stuff. I mean, when Lafayette was in his face and they was pushing that, Alcee was growling, Sookie didn't say shit.
Well, you know, she
was looking like, I'm going to sit down and just kind of watch how this goes.
Yeah, because she just killed his girlfriend, so she was probably, you know, trying to calculate what to do. She probably was in shock. So, you don't know what to do, but I do know that whatever is going to happen, they're going to end up naked in a scene in that kitchen.
Girl.
Oh.
I know.
But, yeah.
So, two
episodes in, it have all this information.
Gunslinging, you know, they started this season. I mean, they hit the ground running and they haven't stopped. And I love it. It's like we're seeing all the characters, but it's not just bits and pieces. Like we're actually getting some development, even with the few things that we're seeing from people.
So I wonder if they're going to slow down and be, because, you know, for me, Game of Thrones was good the first kind of like three episodes, and then it drug on for the remainder of the season, and I was kind of left wanting more. And I hope they don't give us that in True Blood. I want it to be just action-packed.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we'll get it. I mean, they got a lot to work with this season with all the different storylines. So I don't think we're going to be bored by no stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. So any last thoughts? Any predictions? Oh, that's good to do. Any predictions? So I think Hoyt is going to die. I think Patrick is evil.
I do agree with you on Patrick is evil. I don't know if I agree with the Hoyt is going
to
die.
Do you agree because
scenario,
you want him to live and you like him, or do you just think it's just flat out wrong?
You know, at this point right now, Hoyt is not my favorite character, so it's definitely not that. But I don't know. I mean, the show is not, they haven't been shy about killing off good characters. So I won't say that it's, I don't know. It's a hunt.
Okay.
I don't think Hoyt's
gonna die. Martha, what do you think about Martha? Dead, living, what do you think?
I don't know. She's going to bite it before the end of the season.
Yeah, she's too ugly. The actress, the character's ugly, the actress is fine. I think that guy that was like, LC, you run away like you always do, blah, 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 that guy, he's going to bite it. I don't know, but he's going to bite it because we don't know who he is. He's talking all the smack.
Yeah.
Andy Balfour is running into trouble because he's breaking and bending the law. So that's going to be something.
We'll have to see about Andy, because Andy's got the whole, you know, he's got the whole waitress thing going on with Holly, and
she's ignoring him.
I don't know. I would too if I was in bed with the sheriff and my two teenage sons walked in on us. I'd be ignoring you too. So I guess I can understand her point, but you know, I don't know. I really think they need to find something for Andy to do.
Yeah, they do.
They need to find something worthwhile for Andy to do, because other than that, he's just in there as comic relief, as the dumb hick sheriff who's only good for, you know, I just don't.
His character is better than that, though. That actor is really good, so they should give him some more stuff to do.
Exactly. So they need to give him more. I mean, he was doing good with the Hooked on B. I was bored, but I'm saying as far as the actor goes, at least they were giving him something to do. You know, his character was kind of conflicted. You could kind of see what was going on, but yeah, I think they kind of drug that out a little bit long. But I mean, hey, look at it. They drug the whole V thing down a little bit long. You know, Jason and Amy and, you know, yeah. So,
I think Andy's arc is going to be that he's going to be, he might get kicked off the force.
I don't know, because then who does that leave in charge? Jason? No, thank you.
Name Ebony or something, or the
Black Kenya, the Black Queen.
That I just feel like a racist.
Kenya. And then here's the funny thing, because in the book, they actually have Kenya as a, you know, as a big Black woman, and Kevin as like a small white, you know, quiet dude. And the funny thing is, in the books, they're in love with each other.
That's funny. That's hilarious. That's how it works. What is Russell Edgington gonna do? We have any predictions for him? He's just gonna come in and.
What was it? Bill said he wants to create anarchy, and I can't wait.
So good.
If he's going to be pulling other people, if he's going to be pulling people's hearts out of their chest while they're on national TV saying, Tiffany, back to you, bring it. I want to see what he's going to do.
Season 3 was my favorite. Let's see. What's going to go on with Jason in this? He got some kids, parents divorced, and Hoyt's mad at him. So he's having some repercussions of his sexual prowess. So I don't know what's going to go on with his arc. I'm just glad he won't be being raped this season, hopefully.
That
was not cool.
Especially considering the way she looked. Did you see Crystal? Like, really?
Yeah.
Is she the person you're going through all this for? Whatever. Yeah. But, you know, there is a thing, too. We still don't know if, because I don't remember, did Jason turn it all last year?
No, you have to have a gene. It's blood related. You can't be bitten and turn into a werepanther.
No, in the books he didn't turn completely, but he did have some transformation, and he did acquire some of the
attributes of the
characteristics.
Wow,
yeah,
that's
like
interesting. I was disappointed that he didn't turn because he was bitten. I really wanted that to go somewhere, because we had to suffer through that storyline, and for it to be all magically, it has to be genetic, everything's happy again.
Yeah.
And I was just a little like, really? We went through all that crap for nothing, seeing all those ugly people and that rundown? Whatever.
Yeah, and some more incest and... Your uncle daddy,
that is disgusting. Don't do that. So what else? I don't know what Tara's gonna do, but I really hope her and Pam I want to see that interaction, because it's always good.
I need to know more about what's on this authority's agenda. Like, how is this gonna? How are Bill and Eric going to fit into this whole authority agenda?
Yeah. Who else?
So because from what I understand, Eric and Bill actually, they get kind of bromancy this season, which is going to be weird to watch.
What do you mean exactly?
Like, they're supposed to, they turn into like buddies.
Okay, buddy. Okay.
Bromancy.
I was like, well, are they going to be lovers? Because that would be interesting.
No.
They just seem too...
No.
They're both kind of alpha. Like, Eric is a subordinate of the king, but he's still an alpha male, you know, so...
That's true. So, I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. So, let's see...
I guess we can come back in a couple of episodes and talk some more about
it. Yes, we can. We'll come back with some predictions and all some other stuff. And I guess that's going to show.
We'd love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. Send us a tweet at scifipartyline. Send us a message on facebook.com/scifipartyline. We're also on Google Plus. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
I want to do bad things with you. I'm the cat who sit up in his room. A heart sick and eyes filled up with gloom. I don't know what you've done to me, but I know this much is true. I wanna do bad things with you. Okay.
End of line.